Westminster Confession, Chapter 14, Paragraph 3. This faith is different in degrees, weak or strong, may be often and many ways assailed and weakened, but gets the victory, growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. So, variation in faith, but triumph certain. Variation in faith, but triumph certain. First of all, degrees of strength. Degrees of strength. This faith is different in degrees, weak or strong. And the confession gives us verses which indicate faith being either weak or strong. So Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There is variation in understanding, but the assumption is that if knowledge is applied, it will strengthen faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 to 20. Romans 4, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's speaking of Abraham, of course, but it speaks of Abraham being strong in faith, which tells us that faith isn't all at the same level, that yes, it's black and white, a man has faith or he doesn't, but those who do, there is variation, there is a strength of faith which Abraham manifested. Then Matthew 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So there he describes the disciples as being of little faith, and that means that there are those who they don't have no faith, but they have little faith compared with Abraham, who was strong in faith. In Matthew 8 verse 10. Matthew 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is the instance of the man, the centurion, who had a servant who was sick. But Christ says, I have not found so great faith. So he found faith, but not so great faith, no, not even in Israel. So there is weak faith and strong faith. Our safety does not depend upon the strength or degree of our faith, provided it be genuine. Our comfort is related to our strength of faith, but not our safety. The weakest believer is safe in the sense of he will certainly go to heaven and will not enter into condemnation. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek the increase of faith. Of course we should. But we need not think that the degree of faith is our safety depends upon it. Saving faith is saving faith. Christ saves through faith, and the weakest believer is certain to go to heaven. Secondly, fluctuating but never extinguished faith. Fluctuating but never extinguished faith. This faith is different in degrees, weak or strong. May be often and many ways assailed and weakened, but gets the victory. So it is assailed and it does fluctuate. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter's faith was assailed. It was assailed due to the temptation of circumstances when he was following Christ afar off and at the high priest's palace and so on. And when he was asked if he was one of those that was with the Galilean, and there was an attack upon his faith in the form of a temptation to deny Christ. And he did. He did deny Christ. His faith was not only assailed, but it didn't stand under the attack. But he did recover, and Christ prays for him, when thou art converted. That's not talking about initial conversion to Christ. It's talking about when he is turned back to the Lord, when he recovers from his backsliding and his weakness and his failing. So even our progress in the faith is not a straight line. If it were you were to put it on a graph, it isn't just a straight line upwards. It has many variations, many fluctuations, but the overall path is upward. And as we've said before, and as one theologian put it, we progress up and down upwards. There is variation in the graph, but we do progress. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Our faith is assailed, and it is here to be employed as a shield against the fiery darts of the wicked one. And faith contends against the devices of Satan, the temptations to unbelief and to sin and to seek our satisfaction in sin. So faith is assailed. That's why there is a shield of faith. That's why it's called the shield of faith. There is a conflict, there is a battle, and our triumph is not uniform. We sometimes lose skirmishes and have to recover and confess our sin and failure to the Lord and then carry on the battle. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is telling us there is a conflict, and it is a battle which we wage through faith, but that the ultimate triumph is certain, that faith will be maintained, though that faith is always imperfect. It's a strange thing that faith is always imperfect in this world, and there is no faith as we now know it in the eternal world. Faith gives place to sight. So that faith is always imperfect. We are never perfectly sanctified in this world, and therefore our faith is never perfect. And if our faith was perfect, we would believe and do everything that the Word of God says, and we would be perfect. Unbelief is a sin, and it's a sin that plagues us all our lives in this present world. The temptation to heed the voice of the serpent, the voice of Satan, the voice of Satan's agencies in ungodly men, and the corruption of our own hearts, we battle against this to the end. So there's no perfect faith, and there's no perfect repentance. There is always a mixture. We never perfectly repent. We never perfectly trust the Lord. Our repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is always an expression of a new nature that battles against indwelling sin. Thirdly, full assurance possible, but not inevitable. Full assurance possible, but not inevitable. Growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ. Growing up in many, not in every one of God's people, but in many. The confession of faith shows a balance here. In the Church of Christ, there are two dangers, and churches have fallen into them, and believers have fallen into them, into both of them at different times. There is the idea that faith, if it's real, is produces a complete assurance of salvation in everyone who has that faith. That everyone who is born of the Spirit will know and have complete confidence without doubting that they are a child of God. Well, our confession of faith doesn't teach that, and we'll see why in a moment. But on the other hand, there are churches, particularly within the Reformed spectrum, where assurance is seen as almost unobtainable, as a rare thing. And so you get large Reformed congregations where only a handful of people take the Lord's Supper, and many of the others who probably are believers, many of them, not all of them, but they lack assurance. And that state of lacking assurance becomes the norm, and assurance becomes the exception. Now, both of those extremes are to be avoided, and our confession of faith does avoid that. It doesn't regard full assurance of faith, of salvation, as essential to being a believer, but neither does it teach that assurance is almost a remarkable abnormality for a Christian. It takes a middle position, and we believe a biblical one. So to not have a complete assurance of being in Christ is not something we should accept as a norm, but neither is it a sign of being unconverted. Many people in Northern Ireland have suffered because the circle in which they move teach that, well, if you're saved, you will be absolutely sure that you're saved and be able to give a day and a time and a date when that took place. The scriptures do not teach that. Many people can have that confidence. They know not only that they are assured that they do indeed belong to Christ, and they can even trace when their spiritual life began. But that is not essential to being a believer. Well, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, in verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And it's that phrase, the full assurance of hope. And the apostle stirs them up that that full assurance should be theirs. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So again, let us draw near in full assurance of faith. And we must recognize that complete confidence in the Word of God is always our duty. And though true believers do struggle with the fact that they look at the biblical description of a believer and they look at themselves and they have difficulty seeing themselves reflected in that biblical description of a believer. But any sinner who is willing to depend entirely on Christ is so willing to do that because of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So assurance, full assurance of faith, full assurance of being in Christ is to be seen as a norm, though not inevitable. And that true believers, as the section in our confession on assurance, true believers can struggle and even struggle long with the question of assurance of salvation. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The full assurance of understanding. Complete clarity as to not only the gospel, but our saving interest in it. Fourthly, the author and finisher of our faith. At the end, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. This is simply referring to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is the object of our faith, the captain gone before us. That word author, it can mean leader, captain. It's sometimes translated prince, a prince and a savior. That Christ has gone before us. He has led the way as the Redeemer, and our hope and confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's also the finisher of our faith. He's the one who keeps us and who will perfect that which concerns us even to the end. the Lord Jesus Christ is the one we trust, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the ability to trust, and who will keep us to the end, and we shall be glorified through him. And blessed are all they who have been given this faith, this confidence, who have been given eyes to see Christ as the all-sufficient, the suitable Saviour, the surety, the one who takes on the legal responsibilities of his people, who fulfilled all righteousness and who bore the guilt of sin. They are blessed indeed who can see him and trust him by faith as the one able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And they shall not be put to shame, not in this world, not at death, not at the judgment, in the great day of God. They will never be confounded or ashamed of having trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like, you know, you put confidence in someone and you're disappointed. They let you down. They're not what you thought they were. That happens among mere men, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who trust him will never be ashamed.